Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, our chance to get together each week and catch up on the latest technology from a blind and partially sighted perspective. It's your programme, so if you want to get in touch with us, you're more than welcome to drop us an email. techtalk@rnib.org.uk is our email address. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, we'll be hearing about some of the latest updates to Android devices. We'll be looking at how you can get the most out of Narrator, the built-in Windows screen reader that we've been talking a bit about lately. And we'll have another good old tech timeline. That's all coming up this week. And we've got the usual co-hosts joining me, Hubert Pavalkovich, Jackie Brown and Natalie Curran. Let's see what's catching everyone's eye this week. Hubert, what have you got?
Short one for me now. If you haven't updated this app yet, then please do not. Facebook has had an update recently, and I've seen this warning on various communities, mainly on AppleVis, where the latest update, as of this recording, version 560, I believe, there's another accessibility bug. So previously we've had the issue where the back button disappeared for a few months. I think it was around that time. And now the latest bug being reported is that if you double tap to open a post, you then will not be able to read the actual post. There are a few other issues mentioned in terms of being able to add reactions to posts, but that's a bit different. I think the post screen is being redesigned a bit, hence why it's brought this issue. So if you haven't updated your Facebook and when you double tap on a post, you can read it. You may want to hold off on updating until this bug is fixed, which, bearing in mind, last time I think there was quite a lot being mentioned to Meta about the back button issue. Hopefully the same will happen with this one.
Yeah, it's been a bit up and down lately as Facebook, hasn't it?
Well, I found it with a few Meta apps. The Meta AI app has a few updates recently which changed things around a bit for me, and a few other people have had issues.
Yeah, I'm not too keen on that new layout of Meta AI, where you've got like the menu thing to then get to your devices.
A lot of the apps are going away from the sort of tabs structure and going in favour more of an expandable menu where you can go into everything.
I mean, I barely use Facebook, to be honest, but yeah, I have seen this. So when you're scrolling through your newsfeed, the posts do actually read okay, but it's when you double tap to go to the post itself that you get problems. Does it affect comments? Can you still read comments? Or
I've not heard much mentioned about comments. I think it's just the post itself. That's kind of what the AppleVis article mentioned, the post itself.
Yeah.
But it might be worth reading the comments section as well to see if people have noticed anything else, because you do have a mixture. There have been people who actually said, my Facebook's up to date and I'm not experiencing it. So I'm not sure if it's a device-specific issue or what it depends on.
A lot of these can be kind of server side as well, can't they? So they can fix some things without actually updating the app. So maybe that's what's going on. But yeah, always worth checking out AppleVis for things like this. AppleVis.com is the website. And there's a lot of talk about it, so I'm sure you'll find it on the homepage if you're listening to this pretty soon after it's come out, because this is getting a lot of talk at the minute. I'm still just braving it with automatic updates, me, to be honest. I've still got them turned on. Jackie, what have you got this week?
I've bought a pair of the Sony Link Buds Clip. They were sort of being discussed on a past episode of Tech Talk recently. Callum, you were talking to Sony, and I really liked the sound of the clip, because I'm not an earbuds fan at all. I can't wear anything in my ears. I don't find it comfortable. So these interested me because I'm always scared that if I have something that doesn't go actually sit on my ear properly, that I'm going to lose it. So the clip did sound really interesting. So I bought a pair, and I have to say they are really nice. They go around the ear like a little cuff, like a band around your ear. So, and they're very, very comfortable to wear. So you have like a little ball that sits at the front of the ear. They don't go in the ear, but they kind of sit right on the ear more or less. and they this that's where the sound comes from, and then the sort of the cuff bit goes around your ear lobe, and then at the back you've got the kind of the bit that it clips onto, and the kind of the control area, and they are really, really nice. I like Sony anyway. I do like the headphones, and I thought I'm gonna try the clip because they do sound really useful and portable. You've got a little charging case where they come in, a bit like AirPods do, and they're great for just putting in your pocket and you're on the bus. I actually the other day put them on before I went out of the house, and I listened to them on the bus. I didn't even need to mess around putting them on when I was on the bus. I just had them all ready. They connect very easily to your phone or whatever you're using. You can use them on two simultaneous devices. I'm not quite sure why somebody would want to do that, but you can also connect them to up to eight devices. So if you've got maybe a Daisy player, and you've got your phone, or you've got an iPad, or you want to use them on your PC, there's loads of different connections that you can use them on. You can't run them all at the same time, but then why would you? But you can connect them to two simultaneous devices and use them at the same time. So these are really quite nice. They're a bit on the expensive side, I guess, but they are really nice. I'm really pleased with them.
I love the sound of these. So yeah, we did speak to Sony about these a few weeks ago. I should just say as well, Sony, and I said this in the interview at the time, I think, but I just think it's important to, be transparent about these things. They did send me the Link Buds Open, and they're great. They're really nice, the Link Buds Open. But I am intrigued by the clip. But yeah, it just sounds, because the Link Buds Open for me, although they're brilliant, they are kind of tricky to get in your ears, I think. I don't know if it's just me. And part of the thing for me is that as well, is that I wear hearing aids, so that could be part of it as well. I think they are sort of getting in the way a little bit. But the clip does sound good. It does sound like it could be a better fit, maybe. I'm also just intrigued by the design, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the shocks, the open runs that they sort of loop over the ear, and they sort of stay on. But I think, to be fair, I do like the quality of the Sony headphones. Generally, I just do like Sony headphones. But these are really nice because you do feel that they're secure. And that's the thing that one of the things I don't like about stuff going in my ears is in case they drop out. And if you paid up quite a bit of money and you drop one on the bus, or you're scrabbling around looking for something, it's not ideal. So I've always sort of resisted the temptation to go with anything like that. But I thought I'm going to try these and just see what they're like, and if I don't like them, obviously I could return them. But I do like them, and I think it's great to be able to just get on the bus and have the little box in your pocket, and just take them out, pop them in. Although I, as I say, had them in my ears before I left the house. And I wasn't, my sound or anything around me wasn't impeded at all. So because they don't go right in the ear, they just sit sort of more or less in front of the ear. So I mean, if you can and you're looking for some headphones or something really lightweight, then the clip maybe is something to consider.
Yeah, and a really accessible app as well to go with them.
Oh, very much so. It's
Very
very,
nice.
the app is really good. If you've got any Sony, kind of the XM series, I think the XF series as well work in the app. They're the kind of earbuds. But the Link clip, they were very easy to set up. You could go into the equalizer and adjust it, and the app has become a lot more accessible over various updates. It used to be, when I first saw it, I thought, oh my goodness, there's so many buttons in this thing that didn't make sense. But now I do find the app is very accessible, and whatever headphones you're wearing, whatever version of Sony headphones, the app is very good at, you can manipulate the equalizer and you can find out the battery status and everything. So yeah, it is very positive.
And yeah, if you can, then go back a couple of weeks and check out those conversations with Sony. We had some great chats with them. Natalie, anything caught your eye this week?
Yeah, I have a very small thing, which I think we've kind of talked around before, and that is the read aloud feature on, well, I think it's Microsoft in general. I noticed it specifically in Word, and it's an option I've noticed before. And actually, I was looking into it for a colleague's benefit. So if you're a JAWS user, it's probably not particularly relevant to you. But if you're not a JAWS user, it can be very useful sometimes to listen to what's been written on a page, whether you've written it or somebody else has written it. I think I mentioned before that I've got a friend who's a bit dyslexic, and she thought it was a brilliant way of catching spelling errors that spell check doesn't pick up. I've got another friend who uses sort of Zoom magnification, that kind of software, but when it's a longer piece of text, it's quite nice for her to sit back and just have it kind of read to her. And the read aloud function, so it sits up on the review tab. It's a next to spell checker and accessibility checker, I think. Or the shortcut is Control Alt Space. So that's Control Alt Space. I'm not sure what it is on the Mac. I'm sure they probably have a similar version on the Mac. But what it does is it will just start reading from where you are. You can pause it, you can play it, you can move back a paragraph. And I think what it also does is on screen, it highlights the words it's reading. So if you hit pause, it'll highlight the word or possibly a couple words after the one that you want to change. And like I say, it's such a small thing, but I can see it being really handy to lots of people, irrespective of whether you've got visual impairment or not, just because it can be so much easier to pick up spelling mistakes if you listen to it. And if it's like a large dissertation or essay that you've been working on for weeks, you stop actually reading the words, you just see what you expect. So I thought that was something I'd mention.
And the voices are good as well, you know. You can change the voices. And I'm working with a pupil who discovered this recently, and we were going through it because she asked what it was, and so we demoed it, and it was, she really loved it. She thought it was absolutely brilliant. The voices, they made just such a difference from just the regular eloquence voice for JAWS. So yeah, give it a go. It is really good, actually.
It's underrated, isn't it, for how good that could
Yeah.
be, especially for people who are sighted. Because I've always found this, that people see that and they kind of go, I think there's that kind of an assumption that that's, I mean, I don't know if you guys have had this, where people mix up things like read aloud or speak screen or something. They mix those up for a screen reader
Yes.
when obviously they're not.
Yes, and I've heard it the other way around, where professionals have advised somebody they could use something like read aloud, and they're like, "No, I need full-blown JAWS. You're misunderstanding the difference here."
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Or some people are going to
Yeah.
say, oh, you can use Siri on your phone, it will talk to you. It's like, yes, kind of, but that's not a screen reader.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah,
So I
exactly.
feel like people see read aloud and they
Yeah.
just think, oh, that's for blind people, but it's not. I don't
Yeah.
think it was even designed for blind people, really. I think it was designed for what you're talking about then, that like dyslexia and, or even if you just want to
Yeah.
sit back and listen to something. Because web pages as well, if you press, there might be a shortcut for read aloud without doing this, but if you press F9 when you're in Microsoft Edge, you'll get the, is it immersive reader, they call it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's an option on there for, well, that's a good option anyway, because it tends to, doesn't work on every site, but it tends to strip out all of the kind of top navigation and the ads that are going on and embedded videos and stuff. It strips out all of that, or tries to, and just gives you the main content of the page. But you can get that read out as well, which is pretty cool. And yeah, like you said, amazing voices. But again, just make those voices available. I keep saying this. Well, I want to give a bit of a mention to David Woodbridge because he's been putting out some demos. We heard recently of the BrailleNote Evolve from Humanware. This is the BrailleNote device, but it's running Windows 11 Pro. So it's basically a full blown. You've got Keysoft, which is the traditional BrailleNote type thing, but you've also got a full blown computer in there, really, a full blown Windows laptop. And yeah, David Woodbridge has been putting out a few demos of it. So he's done, at the time of this recording at least, he's done demos of like starting the unit up and going through the Keysoft main menu, switching from Keysoft into Windows, and a few different ways that Keysoft and Windows kind of tie in together. I think he's putting them out in several parts. So there's four parts at the time of this recording, and he seems to be adding more every couple of days. So these are all on his podcast feed, which is IC. So that's I, capital SEE. I think the subtitle for it is something like using various tech from a blind perspective or something like that. But if you put in IC, you should find it. They're pretty good. It sounds good, does this?
For somebody who's a lover of the Braille note, just in general, sounds very interesting. I was very attached to my Braille note Apex. I did not want to give it up.
I would be all over this. They are going to be bringing out a QWERTY version. I think that's the one that I'm looking forward to. I think, to be honest, I think it's going to be out of reach for me price-wise. I don't think I'll be able to actually get one, but that is the one that I would be really, really keen on if there's a QWERTY version.
Yeah, because I think that's going to be a 40 sale because of the QWERTY keyboard being that big, bigger. I've actually got a BrailleNote Evolve sitting on my toy table, because I'm beta testing it. So it is. I think once some of the things are ironed out that need sorting out on it, just general bugs that you get with anything new. I think. It's going to be a good device, and I love the portability of it. I guess the QWERTY version, I ideally, in an ideal world, I'd love a QWERTY version, but I think it is going to be slightly bigger and possibly slightly heavier. But it'll be very interesting to see that when it comes out. I think it's not coming out until the end of this year at least. The BrailleNote Evolve, the Braille input version, it's gonna come out this summer. I think they're hoping June, July, but I can't say much more than that at the moment.
Yeah, well, if you want a bit of a preview of it, because it goes through some of the commands that you can use as well. I wouldn't say it's a full getting started guide as such, but it does give you just a bit of an insight into what it sounds like and how you can use it. So, yeah, I'll just spell that podcast name again: lowercase I, capital SEE. So if you search for that on your podcast app of choice, then you should find it there. Well, a lot to get through this week. Stick with us. This is Tech Talk.
Well, with me today is our resident Android guru, the Rag, Steve. Thanks, Steve. You're very
Long as I'm not an
welcome.
oily rag. Hello, Jackie. Pleased to be with you.
Thank you. Well, I know that seriously, you are really big into all things Google and Android. So you're the best person that we know to come on periodically and have a chat about what's new. So, well, basically, what is new? What's going on?
So the latest TalkBack, public version of TalkBack, is 16.1, and the new versions basically, well, it all started with TalkBack 16, these new versions, but they've been enhanced in 16.1. So let's talk about, first of all, focus and typing delay. Now, in TalkBack, you always got a little bit of a lag when you lifted a finger off the keyboard and things like that. There are now two settings in TalkBack. One is called focus delay. Focus delay deals on with explore by touch. So when you touch a thing, the delay is less, and it's in milliseconds, so it's less, and TalkBack is less laggy, snappier, if you like. There is a downside to this, because if you set the focus delay down to 1.15 milliseconds, which is really, really fast, that's the fastest you can do it, then explore by touch can, double tapping can be a bit tricky because you have to double tap quite fast. You have to like that, you know, otherwise the delay will kick in and it will take it, especially if you've got TalkBack set to single tap mode. And single tap mode, for those that don't know, is one of the things I like about Android that doesn't appear in iOS, which is a shame. And that is you can set TalkBack so that you focus on an item and just single tap rather than double tap, and it opens the item. But you have to be confident about it and know where you're focused and things like that. But that's another thing you can do. But that's not new. That one's been around for ages. But this focus delay is really good. And what it means is that Google TTS, like the more sluggish TTSs and things like that, are much faster. So, see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's quite responsive, isn't it? And
yeah.
And that's because I've got the delay set really quite low. But as I say, if you set it too low and you don't double tap fast enough, sometimes it takes it as a single tap and it doesn't work. That's a good one, though, for those that are confident to do that. And the other one in that regard is typing delay. And if you set that, if you reduce that, then the keyboard is more responsive. So when you're moving around the keyboard and lifting, that's more responsive. So those are the two main features, other than what I'm going to talk about in a minute and I'm going to demonstrate as well. And the other big feature in TalkBack is image descriptions has been enhanced. Now, we've had image descriptions for about a year, right? But what we've got now is when you get a description of an image, you can ask Gemini, right?
Okay.
So now you can quiz Gemini, and you can ask as many questions as you want while you've got that window open, and it will answer you about the image, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and demonstrate this, and you can see how powerful it is.
Image.
I've got an image on the screen, and it just says image, okay? So I'm going to describe the image.
Describe image.
And here we go.
Image description. A bird stands on rocks near the ocean. The bird is facing left and has brown and white feathers. It has a white collar around its neck and a dark band across its chest. The bird is standing on dark gray rocks, some of which are wet from the ocean. The ocean behind the bird is turquoise and has small waves. The sky is not visible in this image. In horizontal pager.
Thank you, Debbie, for that. She sent me that from Holiday, my support worker. That's a lovely image.
That is lovely.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Eh? But what is the bird?
That's what I was going to ask you to ask.
Yes.
Ask Gemini button.
What is the bird?
Bird is a killdeer.
How about that?
Yeah.
And it doesn't go through any more description than that. It will just answer the question briefly. You know, it's beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It's really good. Then you could ask, you know, more questions. Where does that bird come from? Where does it originate? What's its habitat? Things like that.
Let's try it.
Type questions. Ask Gemini.
Where does the killdeer come from?
Killdeer are found throughout North and Central America.
Cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, hey? It's really good.
And that's built right into TalkBack. That's what I love about it. You know, you don't have to open the Gemini app or do anything like that. It's built right into TalkBack.
Type, ask Gemini.
How big is a killdeer normally?
Killdeer is typically about 9 to 11 inches long.
Now, we can look at all that back. Look.
The bird is a killdeer. What is the bird? Two of seven.
There's our questions. See what I mean? We could do.
Copy.
You flick down with one finger, copy, double tap. And you just copied the answer straight to the clipboard.
Yeah, brilliant.
See? So you could. And then you close it and off you go.
Yeah. And you could share that as well, presumably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not only that, you've also got screen description. So what that means is if you've got an app which has lots of unlabeled buttons on it and things like that, you can describe the screen as well as the image. And then you can ask Gemini about the screen.
Yes.
This is really powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, Gemini is my favorite AI. I do really like Gemini, and I'm really looking forward to the Google glasses coming out, the Google XR glasses with Gemini, because I know there are some you know, pretty reasonable glasses out there at the moment. It's a very popular wearable item, but I think if you have Google on your, you know, wearing them, and you have Gemini on you, I think that would be really, yeah, that's the holy grail for me at the, yeah, moment.
Well, me personally, Jackie, I always tell my family now to send me pictures when they're on holiday. I love it because they send me, yeah, pictures on WhatsApp. Debbie sent me that on WhatsApp, and I was able to get a description. And I said, do you know what the bird is? And she said, no. And I asked Gemini, and I copied that back, and I said to her, it's a killdeer. So we know, you know, it's cool, yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's really, yeah, good. And it's a really, really level playing field that you can do these kind of things with your sighted friends and family, that, yeah, you can share that kind of information, because that would be exactly the kind of information I would want, because, yeah, I love birdsong, and, yeah, I have a real interest in what they look like, where they come from,
me
and
too,
all their habitat. So it, you know, that kind of thing is really interesting.
You know, it just excites me that we've got so much access now to images.
How does this work, though, on other Android devices, Steve? Because this is one of the not a problem as such, but anybody, right, that buys, say, an Android budget phone, and that's fair enough if that's what they can afford. But anything that's non-Pixel, are we getting this across all Android phones?
Yes. The good news is yes.
Great.
So you should have it now. If you've got TalkBack 16.1, you should have it now.
Yeah.
The only exception was Samsung, because Samsung have their own spin on TalkBack.
I know they do.
But the good news is that you can load Google TalkBack onto a Samsung device, okay, if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you'll get the updates to TalkBack, and it'll keep updating. So you can even get it on a Samsung, but it's more difficult unless you're a bit tech savvy to get it on a Samsung phone, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can do that. But any other phone, I mean, the same is on my Sony Xperia. So I've got the same functionality on my Sony Xperia. Mm-hmm. So I've got all the image descriptions. I've got the Ask Gemini button and all of that. So it's not Pixel specific. That if it were, I would have told you. You know. So
yeah.
I didn't want to get you all excited and say, oh, you can only just have it on Pixels. You know.
Yeah.
But no, it's not. That one is not Pixel specific. You can get that on any Android phone, and it's cool. It's really cool.
So what else is happening in the world of Google? What else is going on?
Well, there are things that I can't talk about.
No, of
because
course,
I'm a TalkBack tester, and so I can't talk about them. Things are coming. Things are happening.
Yeah.
And they're happening fast.
Okay.
I can't say enough that the thing that I love about testing for Android is that I'm dealing directly with the TalkBack developers.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to do that on iOS. You can't deal with the developers of VoiceOver. You know, like, I think Lee Chu is his name, is the head developer of TalkBack in Android. And if I get a problem with TalkBack, I can simply email him and go, look, Lee, I'm getting a problem with this. What do we do? And he'll fix it, or he'll say to me, oh, it's you, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So because I can get so close to Google, that is a bit that really excites me, you know, because I can really, you know, kick the tires with TalkBack developers. That's really exciting, you know.
Yeah, it's an advantage when you can do that, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've got as many blind developers as sighted developers in the TalkBack department, which is exciting as well.
Yeah.
You know, Naima Jaber, who's a friend of mine, he's a developer of TalkBack. He's completely blind like I am. So it's all good stuff, you know.
Yeah. And what about outside of the phones? You know, there is news that Gemini has landed, or is landing, slightly rolling out, on the home speakers, the Google Home speakers. So we've spoken briefly about this on TalkBack. So you've updated yours, I've updated mine. And there are some really nice voices as well on the home speakers now.
Yes. The other thing about Android, the other big advantage of Android in a sense, is that there are so many text-to-speech engines that you can download. Like, you know, with VoiceOver, you get Eloquence and you get nuance, and that's about it. But with TalkBack, you've got nuance and eloquence. You've got one called To Be Said. In fact, To Be Said is exciting. Have you heard about this?
I haven't heard of that one.
So To Be Said, To Be is all one word, T-O-B-E, and then Said, S-A-I-D, right? Okay. You download it. It's got some very high quality voices, although they're not snappy. They wouldn't be really good for screen readers. They're more for reading books, right?
Okay.
But the thing about To Be Said is you can make your own voice. So you can create your own voice. So, for example, if you sent me a 1 minute recording, I could create a TTS of your voice and use it on TalkBack.
Yeah.
How
you
cool
can do
is that?
That to some extent on VoiceOver, though, can't
My
you?
My own voice, yeah. Yeah, you yeah. can. I must be honest, you can do that. And that yeah. works. That works really well. But it's the yeah. first time we've had anything like that on Android.
Yeah.
And it's not a Google thing, you know, it's a separate developer who's done To Be Said. There's another app called BookFusion, and BookFusion has some really high quality voices, and you can use them for reading PDFs, and, you know, BookFusion's yeah, its own app, but it's also, you can use it system wide on TalkBack if you want to, and things like that, you know.
And what about screen readers, Steve? Because there is more than just TalkBack out there that maybe people don't know about.
Oh,
do you know much about these?
Yes, there's loads now.
Yeah,
I say loads. There's about four or five that I know of. So we have TalkBack. We have Commentary, or Jeshuo, as some people call it, which is another one.
Is that the Chinese one, yeah?
Yes, and that's that's a paid for one.
Yes.
But it does have some advanced features, and it's a bit more snappy than TalkBack. There are things I don't like about it. It doesn't have image descriptions or anything like that, but, it, you know, it's there. It's good. There's another one called Ferda, F-E-R-D-A.
Okay, I've heard of it. I haven't tried it.
Well, it's made by a Turkish guy, I believe, and he's also blind, and he's been putting a lot out on the blind Android users list. And I haven't tried Ferda myself either, but from what he's saying, it looks as though it's got some really good features. It's based on TalkBack, so it is based on TalkBack's source code, because TalkBack, parts of TalkBack is open source, you know.
Yeah.
So it's based on TalkBack, but it has extra features that TalkBack has on. So you got Ferda, and there's another one called Prudence, which is based on TalkBack. So what's that? There's three or four there, isn't there?
Yeah,
so
that's right.
You've got a good choice of screen reading. It's a bit like having JAWS and NVDA and Narrator and all of that on Android. You've got choices of screen readers, which is good as well. I really enjoy it because of that. I enjoy it because of what people are doing with it. The other thing is when Angie got an Apple Watch, I was quite jealous because she had a thing called Vibrate the Time. And you could tap your watch and it would just vibrate the time instead of speaking it. So if you're in a meeting like this, like we are, you wouldn't want your watch to read the time to you.
No.
And I reached out to a friend of mine who's an Android developer, and he wrote an app called Vibrate the Time, and it's up there now on the Play Store.
Brilliant.
So that's great. And so, you know, that those kind of things, you know, it's really good. And there's another one that he wrote, which I love as well, called Notification Reader. What that does is it allows you to turn on or off any apps that you want to hear notifications from. Right.
Uh-huh.
And it will read them with your TTS, your selected TTS. Right. But the really good thing about it as well is what Malcolm's done, as per my request as well, is you can make it read only if you've got Bluetooth headphones on, things like that.
Yeah.
So you can make it read in private, kind of things you can't do with TalkBack, you know.
Yeah.
So you can put your Bluetooth headset on and it will read your notifications. As soon as you take them off, it won't read them anymore.
Okay.
You know? And that's really good. We've got that kind of stuff. If you've got an Android phone, I recommend Notification Reader. Have a look at it.
I will.
When you open it, it gives you a list of all the apps that you've got installed. And you tap on the app that you want to hear notifications from and just turn it on, you know.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea, yeah.
And when is TalkBack or when is the next version of Android, the major version, coming out, 17 it would be? Is that later on in the year?
Yeah, I'm guessing it won't be long now because Google have got an I.O., as they call it, a meeting in May.
Yeah.
So probably, I think it's 28th of May. I'm not sure. I think it is, though, 28th of May, something like that. End of the month, they've got a Google I.O. And I'm guessing that they'll release Android 17 then. And that's when you'll get TalkBack 17, and that'll get interesting as well.
And then there'll be a new batch of phones very likely later on in the year. And, of course, these famous glasses that we've been talking about so much.
I'm hoping we'll hear about the glasses at the event, because Samsung are bringing out theirs, aren't they, soon as well?
Yeah.
So
the interesting thing is that Apple are actually, they're merging with, they're doing some work so that they get Gemini on their phones, which is really interesting. But I'm really genuinely glad to hear that, because I'm not a fan of Apple Intelligence, and I'm certainly not a fan of Siri. I don't use it very much at all.
To be fair to Apple, I think they've realized now that there's no point competing with people who've already done AI.
Exactly.
You know, they might as well shake hands and do it. So I think we might see some more Google and Apple collaboration, which will be good for all of us.
I think so. I think it's good. It's good for everybody right across the board. Well,
interestingly, the last thing I will say is what annoys me slightly is that Google gives iOS everything. They give all their apps, like Gemini, like YouTube Music, like Apple Music, YouTube Music, all of their Google stuff. They do that for iOS. Apple don't reciprocate. So although you can get Apple Music for iOS, there are a lot of Apple apps that would be really nice on Android as well.
Yeah.
Last thing I will say, Jackie, and I really envy Apple people, is that that Orion app sounds quite good. And I wish Orion would come to Android.
Well, you've heard it here, Steve. I mean, you never know who's listening, and you never know whether, you know, that could be a possibility. I think it's quite a good app, and it's become very popular. It gets quite excited if you're going out and about somewhere and you are wearing your glasses or something like that, and you're wandering along. It's telling you about people that are walking by. It tells you what they're wearing and the colors and everything. I mean, it is really, really detailed. Somebody might not want that amount of verbosity, but it is really good. I mean, it is, to be honest, a really great time to be a blind person. I've said that for a long time, but it really is, though, for people like you and myself who are born blind and used to it. This is the sort of technology we would have loved years
absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But you're right, Jackie. I'll agree with you completely. It's now it's a lifestyle choice. You know, when you ask someone if they've got an Android phone or an iPhone, it's not usually because of accessibility. It's a lifestyle choice. There's always a way around it on the other platform.
Yes.
You know, which is indeed. Good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a good place to be.
It's great. It is. It's absolutely brilliant. Steve, thank you so much for coming on to talk to us. We will have you back shortly to talk more Android, more Google, because I know you can't get enough of it. And frankly, neither can I. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. And thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Now on R&IB Tech Talk, it's time to explore technology timelines. Yes, we are going back to the past, then popping over to the present and the future of a tech with a blind or partially sighted person. Today we are joined by Rosie Murray. Rosie, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start from the very beginning. When it comes to your early days of assistive technology, what was the first piece of assistive technology that you owned?
The first piece of technology that I owned, I think, would have been the Braille Note Apex, and I was in primary 4. So I was quite young, I was 8 years old, and that was the first piece of technology that I ever actually got to use and explore. I'd never kind of really seen anything before that. So that was probably the first big one for me.
Now, I appreciate you've used a lot of assistive technology, you know, throughout your time. Do you have a favourite, something that particularly stands out to you that maybe you have used and you no longer use but you love, or maybe something that you are still using because it's so good?
When it comes to sort of Apple products, I still have my first iPad. That'll be about 11 years old now. and it doesn't really do very much anymore. But I've from that, I've then developed into using another iPad and a Mac and an iPhone. So definitely Apple products have always stuck with me since I started using them.
Now, jumping to the present, and I'm going to open it up here. You can mention an assistive piece of technology, or you can mention something mainstream. What technology is currently making the big difference in your life, and, you know, why?
I would say the biggest one would be my phone, which is an iPhone, because I use it every day for literally everything. And also use my Apple Watch as well along with that, and them side by side are really helpful. I would also say that a recent one that I started to use are the Meta Smart Glasses, and there are certain tasks that I think are definitely made easier by using them compared to like an app on your phone.
Now, this particular part is always interesting because what people want to bring back technology-wise can be variable of all sorts. You get all sorts of different old-school pieces of technology, you know, old-school cassette players, CD players, dictaphones. So my question to you is, if there was one piece of technology you would like to bring back that maybe isn't used at all anymore or isn't used as much, what would it be?
I would say probably one of the sort of original iPods, because I remember using them. And of course, you know, you have your phone and everything now, and I think that's, you know, great. But I really enjoyed them, and you could just go and listen to your music, and it was kind of just like away from the rest of the world. And, you know, they're so small, you can take them out with you. I think they're great. I wish they were still here.
I used to love them. They were so small, some of them, and some of them even just clipped onto your belt and stuff, or some of them just really tiny. I used to really like them, and I found mine always went with me wherever I went, to the point where I had even school teachers going, "What's that thing you always carry around with you?" And to me, it was like a constant companion, because music was always escapism for me. So having that for me was always quite essential. Now, let's dive into the future of technology. And your imagination can run free on this one. The future of tech. I mean, as open as it is, what would you like to see technology do in the future? What particular developments would you like to see, you know, develop further? Or maybe there's something new you'd like to see?
I'd love to see more development with the smart glasses, depending on whatever brand of them. I'd love to see kind of like directions when you're using them to navigate, or like live guidance when taking photos. I think that would be really helpful, because they're so good right now, but I think there's some things that would be made way better if they kind of spoke more in certain situations.
How do you mean? What sort of situations would you think these glasses could be more assistive with that maybe isn't so much the case at the moment?
So if you're trying to take a picture of text, for example, and you want to make sure that you've actually got it lined up properly in the camera, I think it would be really helpful if it was giving you directions, or if you were out and about and you kind of wanted to like walk around and find out what was around you. You know, obviously not like on the road or anything like that, but like in a safe bit. It would be kind of interesting if it could tell you, you know, you're like so far away from this place, or this is on your left, so that you had an idea of where you were.
Have you used any, you know, descriptive apps for the glasses, such as Orion, where they actually use the glasses camera to, well, not necessarily describe what's around you in an exact way, but, you know, tell you what object it sees in front of you and things like that? Have you ever had experience with much of these apps?
The only navigation app I've used so far is Blind Square, and I like that, but I think it does have some limits.
I quite like it on the bus. It's good for describing your surroundings and also tracking a particular bus stop. If you want to get off at a bus stop, it does very much help. So no, that's really interesting. And it was really interesting to explore that sort of kind of technology journey with you. So thank you very much, Rosie Murray, for letting us explore your tech timeline here on RNIB Tech Talk.
Thank you.
Well, today I'm going to revisit Narrator, which is Microsoft's Windows screen reader that's built into Microsoft computers and tablets. And we haven't visited Narrator for quite a while, so there have been some changes for the better, I might add. And I will let you draw your own conclusions from whether you think it's a really good screen reader or whether it just as I call it myself sometimes, get you out of a hole when you're stuck and your regular screen reader crashes or it doesn't do something you want it to do. I've actually found that Narrator is a really good implementation to have as a backup, if you like. And you can do a lot more with it now than you used to be able to do when it first came out on Microsoft products. But I also think one of the interesting things about Narrator is the quality of their voices now, their neural voices, and they are really quite good. So what I'm going to do is give a little overview of Narrator and demonstrate it with one of the new voices. So this is the normal command that you hear when you start Narrator, which is Control Windows key and Enter. That's still the same. And this is what you hear when it does start. So I'm going to load it now.
Narrator window heading level 1. Scan. Welcome to Narrator. This is Narrator Home, where you can get help, access your settings, and learn about new features. Narrator is a screen reader that describes aloud what's on your screen, so you can use that information to navigate your device. To start or stop Narrator, press the Windows logo key and Control and Enter. Explore the sections below to get started. Narrator Guide. View the complete Narrator guide online. What's new? Get an overview of new and updated features. Settings. Customize Narrator. Press Windows logo key and Control and Enter access settings anytime.
Okay, I'll stop it there. So that is the spiel that you get when it first loads. Now, of course, you can go into Narrator settings and you can customize that. That is the neural voice Ryan, and I've put him at speed 12 so that everybody can understand what hopefully he's saying. So I'm at my computer and I'm going to now tab around and get to the Narrator settings. As the voice told you at the beginning, there is a full user guide which you can access online, and you can actually download it as well from the Microsoft support pages. So here we go. I'm going to tab.
Feedback button, Alt F. Show Narrator home when Narrator starts, tick box checked, Alt H. Link, start Narrator after sign in. Exit Narrator button, Alt X. Minimize button, Alt M. Quick start button, Alt Q. Narrator guide button, Alt G. What's new button, Alt W. Settings button, Alt S.
Okay, so we'll go into settings.
Settings window, Narrator, toggle switch, on, scan off. Show more settings button, collapsed.
Now, when you hear the word collapsed, that means that you have to press the space bar or the enter key to expand the topic. So it is grouped quite well, and all I'm doing is using the tab at this point. And if I want to expand, I can just press the space bar and it will just expand the Narrator category. So we'll just see what else is in here.
Keyboard shortcut for Narrator, toggle switch, on. Narrator home group, show more settings, button, collapsed. What's new in Narrator, button. Complete guide to Narrator, button. Choose a voice, combo box, Microsoft Ryan, natural, English, United Kingdom, collapsed.
Okay, so it's saying Microsoft Ryan is the Microsoft voice, which I have chosen. But if I wanted to change the voice, I would tab once.
Show more settings, button, collapsed.
And it says show more settings and
add voices group, add, button.
I can go to the Add Voices group, and then if I do that,
add a voice window, language selection, combo box, English, collapsed. Language, natural voices. Select natural voice to preview, internet connection required. Natural voices. Select natural voice to preview, internet connection required. List, Microsoft Neerja, natural, female, English, India, 32.3 megabytes.
Okay, so it's given me a detailed name and the size of the voice if I want to download this. If I arrow down.
Finnish, 10 of 34. French, 11 of 34. Selected. German, 12. Greek, 30. Hebrew, 14 of 34. Arabic, 1. Bulgarian, Catalan, Chinese, Croatian, Czech, Danish, Dutch, English, 9 of 34.
Okay, selected. So that's your language category. So if I tab.
Microsoft Neerja, natural, female, English, India. Microsoft Probot, natural, male, English, India. Microsoft Andrew, natural HD, male, English, United States. Microsoft Aria, natural, female, English, United States. Microsoft Ava, natural HD, female, English. Microsoft Guide, natural, male, English, United States. Microsoft Jenny, natural, female, English, United States.
Okay, so that is a list. If I go to the top of that list with the home key.
Microsoft Neurger, natural, female, English. Microsoft Probot, natural. Microsoft Andrew, natural HD, male, English.
Okay,
my name is Andrew. I'm the high-quality HD voice that you can use for your everyday needs like screen reading or to speak with your loved ones and colleagues. I'm here to delight you with my unique style and personality, and I hope you give me a try.
Okay, so that's Andrew. So that's how you choose a voice, and then if you want to download, you would tab.
Other voices. Preview not available list. English. Australia.
It's giving you other voices and other languages. So you can have a play with the voices. They have got a lot better. Now, if I want to just
settings
come
window.
Out of that, I have now just pressed the escape key, and I'm going to tab around to see what else is in here.
Narrator audio output device, combo box, default audio device, collapsed. Verbosity level, combo box, one text only, collapsed. Show more settings, button, collapsed.
As I say, all these boxes that you can customize, narrator, you just tab or shift tab back and you press the space bar to expand. So there's a lot of customization in here. You can customize the speed of the voice, the pitch of the voice, the language of the voice, and of course the voice itself. For my purposes, I'm just quite happy with Ryan. I think he's quite good. There's another English one called Sonia, and she's quite nice as well. So there are a lot of customization things you can do with Narrator, including adding a braille display as well in that menu. So what I'll do is demonstrate a web
desktop
page.
List, this PC, selected.
Okay, so I will go to... plan was to go to
GeForce Experience, selected. Google Chrome, selected.
Google Chrome, here we go.
Alert info bar, untitled, Google Chrome window, Google document, search, combo edit, collapsed.
Okay, so it's taken me to the search field. So if I type in something like RNIB reading services, let's see what happens.
Toolbar, address and search.
Okay.
RESGNIDAER. Scan. Skip to main content and a reading services logo. Donate. Home reading services has finished loading. Help and
there we are. So I'm now on reading services page. And if I wanted to log in here, I could do that. If I want to just go down the page and see what's happening, I can jump by heading.
Welcome to ANUB Reading Services, heading level 1. Introducing ANUB Reading Services, heading level 2.
It says RNIB, but we know what it means.
How do I join, heading level 2?
I'm just moving down the page now by heading.
Alexa, open ANUB Talking Books, heading level 2. Getting started, heading level 2. Suggested reads, heading level 2. Sponsor a talking book, heading level 2. E-Braille, heading level 2.
So that gives you an idea of what it's like just to move around on a page. If I wanted to jump by button, I'll go to the top of the page and I will do...
We use cookies on our website to give reject all cookies. Manage cookies. No next button.
Right, okay. So at we the use moment, cookies it's on our... just giving me a cookie message. So I will...
Accept all... reject all... home reading services, Google Chrome window, home reading services.
So I've just rejected those, as I tend to do. And now let me see what happens if we go down by a button.
Donate. No next button.
Oh.
ANUB Reading okay. Services homepage. ANUB Reading Services. Donate. Navigation. Help and advice. Register. Login.
Okay. They are buttons, but it's actually not telling me that they are buttons. So if I wanted to log in, I would just press enter and log in to Reading Services. And then I could find out a book that I want to download or an author. And you would use Narrator really in the same way as you would use NVDA or JAWS, whatever your preference for your screen reader. It has come on a long way, to be fair, from the days when it first came to Microsoft. I think it was in 2015, and it was really quite patchy then. It wasn't I wouldn't say it was really a usable screen reader. You could just about set Windows up. And that's primarily what I do still use Narrator for, to be fair, is if I'm setting up a new laptop or a PC, then I will turn on Narrator at the startup, because at that point you don't have your regular screen reader handy. So I turn on Narrator with Windows key control and enter, and it will start, and it'll actually get me through the setup to a point where I'm at the desktop. But actually, I've noticed that when I've done that in more recent times, I've found I can leave Narrator on a lot longer because I can get more done with it. It's just a lot better than it used to be at the beginning. So if you want to give Narrator a go, do try. It's, as I say again, it's Control, Windows key and Enter. And it's the same Control, Windows key and Enter to turn it off. And you can customize a lot of stuff in Narrator. I think for me, Jaws does still have the edge, if I'm being honest, because I do like Jaws Braille support. I use a Braille display on my computer all the time. And I think there has in the past, I don't know if it's changed, but certainly in the past, you have had to install the Braille driver for Narrator, and then you've had to uninstall it if you want to go back to use your other screen readers like Jaws or NVDA, which is not wholly satisfactory. If that's changed, somebody please do let us know. I'm not aware that it has, but I'd like to think that it has got better and that it does read with Braille displays now. But I don't really fancy the idea of messing around with uninstalling Braille drivers and putting in other ones. But if that's not the case, then that's brilliant. But it's just a short overview of Narrator and where we are with it today. There is, as I say, an online guide for Narrator that you can access from within the screen reader, but you can also download it from the Microsoft support pages. So just type in guide for Windows 11 or Narrator guide for Windows 10, whatever operating system you're using of the two. It does still work pretty well now. You can get that guide and download it, so you have it as a document rather than just online. Okay, so thank you very much, Ryan.
Exiting Narrator.
And that is it from us for another week. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. And don't forget, as we always say, it's your programme, so we always love to hear from you. If you've got any comments or feedback or any questions, get in touch. You're always welcome to drop us an email or a voice message to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. We'll be back same time next week, but from me, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavalkovic, Jackie Brown and Natalie Curran, bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.